This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola. Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire. Produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A U R A L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, wasn't it? Bismarck wasn't it?
Liz Mark.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place with a big bush play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk to Fix.
I think they might be shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I'm just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you think. Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richards.
I'll be where I want to be. Boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can
place
be.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the great episode of the one only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Wednesday evening. We have a very exciting episode lined up to you for you, because it is one that we've been waiting a while for. About a month since the last time we did this, and as soon as that one ended, I've been ready to do the next one, and we're finally here. So let me bring in my PIC, Mr. Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 315 of the Place to Be Podcast. And yes, after we did the original experiment of this, very excited to do it again. I didn't talk to you. How was your weekend? I know the weekend's been over for a couple days, but I didn't talk to you Monday, so...
Pretty good. I spent some of it with Mr. Dan McGinn.
Ah.
Interesting, as always. Basically becomes my personal assistant on the weekends when my wife has to work. Lugs the diaper bag around and runs errands for me. And then we went to Boneheads. We watched a little Payback.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun with one of our guests here tonight and his wife and my wife, and we were all there. Dan, by himself, was there, and we were...
I thought you were going to say, Dan, my other wife.
Basically. And yes, we watched what ended up being a pretty good Payback pay-per-view. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I'm sure you will detail that, I'm guessing, on next week's main event.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the reaction cast I did with Will and Sorrows and Dylan and Chris, talked about the recap. So if you haven't had a chance to listen, definitely do, because we did it. It was a good job.
Yep. So placetobenation.com right now. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had Monday off. Little scheduling issues we had, but we'll be back in the saddle regularly next Monday. But here we are tonight. We head back to 1993, because we have the next two episodes and our live watch of Monday Night Raw as we move to the chronology of that show. So let's bring in our guest panel. It's the same fellas that we heard for episodes 1 and 2. First, we'll bring in the assistant to the managing editor, I believe, and that is, of course, the co-host where the big boys play and occasional writer for PlaceToBeNation.com, Mr. Chad Campbell. Chad, how you doing?
Any update on the status of the start date of Kenta Kobayashi and Fergal Devitt?
Okay, we also have...
I thought this was the Triple H call-in conference call. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have time for that right now. But thank you for... you can put it in writing.
Sad sorry. Chad is here. All right, we also have with us, of course, a long-time friend of the podcast, and he's been on many, many times since. One of the roundtable members on Main Event, the great, the one, the only, Mr. Steve Willey. Steve, how are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me back on.
Of course. Steve. It wouldn't be a Raw rewatch without you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have the man who's reinvigorated in the world of wrestling, and he's here just for comic relief. And of course, he writes the weekly column, Cowboy Goes to Class. The cowboy himself, Mr. Roger Morissette. Roger, welcome.
Doing great, Justin.
I didn't ask, but welcome aboard.
How are you, Roger?
Doing very well.
There you go. Good. There All right. So, yes, we're here to watch the January 24th and 31st edition of Monday Night Raw from 1993. We're going to get to those in just a moment. What we wanted to do first, though, was because since our last edition of Raw that we watched, there's been a pay-per-view in the WWF. That was Royal Rumble 1993. So we wanted to take a few minutes to kind of talk about what happened on that show. Also refer you to PlaySimulation.com for the latest Cowboy Goes to Class, where he broke down the show in a kind of a different review style. Raj, right? You looked at performance of the night, your match of the night, surprises, what worked, what didn't work. I thought it was a pretty cool style. So hopefully we'll be seeing more of these out of you.
Award show style. Yes. And absolutely, I really enjoyed writing it that way. So you'll definitely be seeing more from the Cowboy.
Cool. So why don't we share some quick thoughts on the Rumble and how it leads into tonight's Raw. So why don't we start with you, Chad. What stood out at that Rumble for you? Any fond memories, anything in specific? Or did you see it as being kind of a down edition of the show?
As far as the Rumble, I think it's interesting because it's so star-laden at the beginning with Flair, Perfect. Backlund, he's a star from the past and would stay to the very end. I think you had DiBiase, who mixed it up real early on. And then the Rumble match just takes a complete nosedive once Giant Gonzalez makes his inauspicious debut. So pretty subpar Rumble, I thought, overall, actually. But the show overall is kind of fun with Sean, Marty, and then the Razor Brett title match was interesting, too. Kind of Brett with a underneath type contender. Razor had been built up some, but still felt a little below Brett's level, and he carried him to a good match.
Yeah, it was a very good match. And Willie, I'll ask you this. Do you think they front-loaded that Rumble and then back-loaded it with crap just so Yoko looked strong, could chuck a bunch of guys and not have too much fan backlash?
Yeah, I think so. There were a lot of fat dudes in that match for sure. Like Earthquake, Typhoon, Yokozuna. Well, Gonzalez didn't actually enter formally, I don't believe, but was he a formal member, or did he just jump in?
No, I think he just interfered.
Yeah, he just appeared. Yeah.
Yeah, he ran in.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much the attempt to put him over, and then the shock for me was Backlund lasting so long, because he had the record for quite a long time.
Right, and that was a cool moment in the match. And Roger, you talked about a lot in your column. You want to share some of those thoughts on Backlund's run here?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was awesome. Again, coming from a different place than you guys, I haven't watched Bob Backlund in a really, really long time. I saw him at the beginning, and you know, it's him and Flair, and my thought was Flair was just going to get rid of him real quick. And about 25 minutes in, I looked, and Backlund was still in there, and you know, then you look up and three guys left. One of them's Backlund. And now I'm finding myself rooting for Backlund sort of by default because I really don't like Yokozuna at all. And Macho Man wasn't doing it for me in this one. But I thought Backlund was going to take him out there with the drop kicks. It was a great, great performance from Bob. Really, really good to see.
Now, I think it was interesting because you had some serious beef with Yoko winning this. And we talked about it today, kind of that maybe – without the context of the push he was receiving, you thought he seemed like a pretty tepid winner. Steve, do you feel like Yoko was the right choice in this one, though?
Well, yeah, I do, just from remembering what was going on at that time, that they were really trying to establish him as the huge monster, and how if you were going to enter him in the match, how were you going to eliminate him and without having him lose what momentum you were giving him?
How about you, Chad?
Yeah, I agree with that. With Brett as the face champion, he needed some big contenders, and Yoko was kind of the freshest, fattest guy they had to throw at him. So, worked for me.
Scott, what did you think of the stuff with Perfect and Flair? Do you think it set up what we're about to watch pretty well on this? Did it get you kind of excited for it?
Yeah, it did, actually. I still, I love Yoko. I really do. But I'm – Willie, you've kind of or I should say, Roger, you've kind of swayed me a little bit. I almost think that like a guy like Perfect would have been great for to win this Rumble and go to WrestleMania 9, and then maybe this match with Flair would have been like Flair's career in the WWE versus the title shot or something like that. I almost think that they needed – I mean, obviously, Vince still had that monster heel cartoony philosophy in 93, and rightfully so. That's still what was big. But I still thought in a more athletic – winner here would have fit and we could have had even if it's not a heel, a face-face thing with Perfect Brett. I think that would have been nice. But Chad, a little trivia for you, since you are a Place to Be podcast historian. Do you remember the episode number of JR's and my Rumble 93 vault?
Wow. Oh, that would have to be, I'm going to guess it was probably in the 60s, around there. I'll say 68.
What do you think, JR?
Rumble 93. Yeah, I would say right around there.
65.
Yeah.
Good call, Chad. Very close. 65. But anyway, yeah, Yoko's a great heel, and we've talked, Justin, you and I have talked about it constantly over the years about Yoko, but I'm almost starting to get into that thinking of, I think they needed a more athletic main event for Mania rather than Brett just facing a big super heel, but
I think a lot of people always say Savage should have won and fought Brett at 9. I think that could have worked well, but
yeah.
I definitely thought Perfect was going to win leading up to it. I mean, it seemed obvious to me as a kid that he was getting the biggest push of anyone in the field at the time. I would have given it to Perfect. I would add him, then still retire Flair, like you said. And then you have Yoko go over strong over someone at Mania. So maybe he has a rematch with Backlund playing off the Rumble or someone. You give him one more big win, and then you have him face Brett at King of the Ring. I think that would have been the best way to do it.
What do you do with Yoko at the Rumble then? Because I agree. I'd much rather see Perfect and Brett.
Have him in a singles match against Brett. Maybe have him in a singles match against some stiff.
Well, maybe he squashes the Boss Man instead of Big.
Don't even put him in.
I mean, or you put him in and you have everyone gang up on him. Remember, and they did it with Earthquake in 1990. Remember, like 9 guys threw him out and didn't really hurt him. I mean, you could have had everyone gang up on him and push him out. Earthquake, Typhoon, Undertaker. If you have all those guys in there with him, and it doesn't really look that fluky, you know, it doesn't hurt. I don't think it hurts him too bad.
They did try to push him out, and he fought his way out of it. There were like 9 of them, one of them being the Repo Man, as far as I remember.
Interesting.
Undercard quickly on that show. Any specific memories? I know Chad talked about Brett and Razor. One that I noticed, I was watching the show to kind of prep for this over the last few nights. That Steiners-Beverly Brothers match is way stiffer than I ever remembered it being as a kid. Like, you know, we talked about this on our last show here. With the Steiners against the Executioners, Scott at one point he just like picks Bo up and shoves him into the corner violently, and Rick crushes both of them with really stiff clotheslines, and then Scott almost kills, I think it was Bo again, with the Frankensteiner, and that whole match was very violent and stiff, way more than I remembered as a kid, and maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention, but I'm curious to see more of the Steiners as we go through these Raws to see if they stayed as stiff and angry and violent as they were in that match. Any memories of that specifically, Chad?
That would be an interesting one to revisit, I think. I mean, the Steiners, I remember being disappointed, I guess, overall. But them kind of having a little bit of a stiff throw fest was pretty good. Sounds interesting. I'd like to revisit. I probably should revisit that show. That's kind of I would say that's one of the more sketchier shows for me from probably even like WrestleMania 3 until like 95, 96 when I had my first dark period. I can't think of another pay-per-view besides Rumble 93 that I'm as fuzzy on, really.
Yeah, it's definitely one worth revisiting. For Brett Razor alone, I thought it was worth revisiting.
Mm-hmm.
And also Marty Shawn, which I think has actually got a little bit better with age. I remember at the time not being a huge fan, and the more I've watched it, and I think Roger felt the same way in his review. And that Steiners match really kind of caught me off guard the other night. So I think that's worth tossing into if you're a fan of the Steiners in a stiff style. So, well worth checking out. So any final thoughts across the board here about the Rumble before we dive into Raw?
I wanted to ask you, JR. I like to ask all you guys, because I wasn't totally watching as closely as I normally do at the time. Did the Shawn Marty match have this like aura about it? Like, was it, oh my God, the Rockers, you know? Or was over a year since being thrown through the barbershop, like, had it lost its luster? Like, was there a lot of buzz for that match?
Yeah, I think there was.
I thought so.
I think there was.
I was just curious.
Especially with the Sherry stuff and the way Marty had come back and smashed it with the mirror. It was really cool to see him back randomly. I mean, that really came out of nowhere at the end of 92. So I think there was a lot of hype. I think there's a lot of hype, too, because everyone expected a great match. And it ended up being very good. But I think people were kind of disappointed at the time because I think everyone was expecting a huge classic.
Right. I was just curious if there was actually a legit buzz, because it had been over a year since the, you know, since the barbershop window. So I was just curious. But otherwise, I like the show. And we, you know, obviously, you know, check out episode 65 and JR's in my vault. But yeah, I think it was a good overall show. I like Brett Razor. I do agree with you, Roger, though, looking at your article. I think it's one of my favorite quotes ever. I hate big fat guys whose only skill is being big and fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great line. It's one of my favorite quotes of your article.
It's the kind of hard hitting analysis you should come to expect from the Tabloid.
That's my motto in life.
There are a couple of 2-syllable words in that sentence.
Before we get into this Raw, I should share some news here. If you guys haven't seen, Don Zimmer passed away. Baseball great.
Man. Really?
Age 83.
Oh,
so not to cast a pall over the show, but why don't we dive in now to Monday Night Raw from
Zimmer.
January.
God, you're like Vance, man. Do the 10 bell salute. You mentioned it, and then it's right on to the show must go on, huh?
That's it. We had a lot to get to.
Good. Rest in peace to the gerbil.
He'd want us to go on.
I need a minute here.
He would want us
to go on.
He would want us to go on. So he would want us to sit here and mourn him.
He's probably Scott's neighbor down in Tampa. Same age, right? Demographic.
Baseball needed a funny-looking Popeye guy sitting on its bench in the baseball game up in heaven. All right. So let's. Is everyone queued up here? We're looking kind of at a faded image of the New York City.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. I'll count us in, and we will begin. A 3, 2, and we fade up to the New York skyline.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it, Willie, last time? I believe you are our man with the audio, right, that we'll run with for important promos. As we pull up. Oh, I almost forgot about this.
Oh, my God, the hat.
The continuation of the hottest feud in Raw history to this point. Randy Savage of the Repo Man. Repo pulled up in a tow truck, and he's got Macho's hat in his hand, and he's talking to Sean Mooney out on the street. Anything important here, Willie?
No, I'm overjoyed.
Okay,
I'm just overjoyed that we're going to be doing this. It's like, wow, he has his own tow truck.
Did Repo, Roger, you just watched it most recently, did Repo have a decent run in that Rumble? Because I feel like he's getting a little bit of a push here.
No, but when Savage came in, the first thing he did was kick Repo's ass.
Okay.
He went right after him because of the hat.
That's cool. So at least they played it up then a little bit. So we hit our classic open here as Repo darted in. So this is really our first big Raw that we've had. Only 3 in, and they've already loaded it up. We have this well-built feud, and then on top we have the... as we'll see, the Loser Leaves Town match that was hyped at the end of our last episode.
Look at that, babe.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty scantily clad for 1993.
That is, Jesus. I mean, in January, no less.
In New York, not even in the South.
Yeah,
here's
God.
Our normal commentary team, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, Rob Bartlett, and Bobby is in after being kicked around for a couple episodes. He's replacing Savage.
Yep, who's wrestling here tonight, so he gets a little respite. Bobby... Good, Steve.
I would like to apologize really quick to you, Scott, in advance. I did hear Vince McMahon say that the Bushwhackers would be on.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yikes. I feel bad for the two poor bastards that left the job to them. JR, did you have that Monday Night Raw t-shirt?
Yeah.
Is that the gym shirt?
I didn't have the one with the USA, though. Right? Yeah, I didn't say USA. It was just the Monday Night Raw logo. Yep. I think we both had a version. All right, what's our opener here?
Right out of the gate, complete with the hat.
All right.
Repo Man.
So Repo, I guess, does just wear his ring attire all the time then.
Mm-hmm.
Because he pulled up at the arena, got out, ran right into the ring. So
I better just, you know, dressed up
that's,
before
that's
he...
a Repo Man uniform, I guess.
There you go. Oof, it's looking a little paunchy there. I guess he ain't hanging banging with Hawk and Animal in the same gym in Minneapolis anymore.
No, this is definitely getting a little tight.
Chicken fricassee going on there.
This is a big match for him, but it don't look like he trained too hard.
Savage not even getting a true entrance.
Oh, look at this. Oh!
What a bitch. Job.
Just darts in you. Repo, my lord. He does
it's
not look good.
It's a death feud. It's a death feud over this hat.
It is. Very angry.
This is probably Repo's last big match, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's around too much longer in 93. When does he show up in WCW? End of the year?
Oh, God. I think it's like, isn't it late 94 when he becomes Blacktop Bully or whatever?
Right. Yeah.
Like, his shit with Dustin is 95. That's Uncensored 95, where they got fired for blading in the 18-wheeler.
Yeah, truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He, as Repo Man, his final recorded match was March 28th, 93.
So this is it.
And then he worked the indies till 94.
So he worked the indies for, God, over a year, huh? Wow.
Yep.
I like Savage's ring attire here. Very, flowery, but looks good.
I like the black, yeah. Very unique for Savage.
Neon green boots there. The ties in the back. Why doesn't Savage just take the hat and leave?
He could.
Get the rest of the night off.
Well, you got to pin him to really rub the salt in the
wound. Salt in the wound.
Yeah.
That Repo, I mean, they could have let those tights out a little bit for him.
Savage needs to redeem himself for that hideous that brain fart at the end of the Rumble where he tried to pin Yoko. So this is his redemption here. So
now this Raw was actually taped, which is odd when you think about it. The big night after the pay-per-view, and you have a huge match. But I'm guessing because their Rumble was in California, they didn't want to have to fly back to New York, record that night. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, they probably haven't exactly, at this stage, probably haven't figured out the whole schematics of live tape yet.
So they taped this before the Royal Rumble?
Yes, they taped this the same night our last episode was January 18th. They recorded this one right after it.
Oh, wow.
So this is actually the 25th. Are we off on the date?
It's the 25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kept saying the 24th. So it's 25th.
Well, that's because the screen says the 25th. They're all a day. Yeah, because the 24th was the actual Rumble itself.
Okay.
So it's the 25th. Savage's dye job is in full swing.
Well, Repo's really had zero offense so far. He's getting his ass beat. Yeah.
100% chunk. I think the balding makes it worse.
It was cool seeing Savage, too, in the ring, because he had been sporadically competing, I think, since about Survivor Series 92. He had a little feud with Razor around the horn. Still had some house show matches with Flair, I believe. So it was kind of a unique thing seeing him get to wrestle on free TV like this.
Mm.
Oh, there he goes. Now Repo's bringing the pain.
He really looks like Farva from Super Troopers. I can't get it out of my head.
I think I just saw that. Yeah, I did just see that. Super Troopers. Farva's the goofy one, right? That beat up the guy behind the
leader of Cola.
Yeah, the leader of Cola. Okay, I just want to make sure. He does look like Farva. That's good, Raj.
Scott always on the cutting edge of pop culture.
That's right. Way back in 2000.
I watched this new movie. It's called Forrest Gump. I don't know if y'all seen it.
Tom Hanks, huh? Didn't play just on Bosom Buddies?
It's got a good up and comer. Tom Hanks.
He was just on Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
Repo really laying it in. I mean, he looks like he's struggling to even bend over and punch Savage. Like
he's got so quite bad. A bruise on his back. I don't know if that was from a bump or what, but if you look on like his left flab, it's purple.
The flap, the left roll. Flipper.
Got that reaching into the refrigerator.
Yeah. Banged it on the door.
My God.
Yeah, as good as Savage looks for not wrestling that much during this time period, Repo Man looks just the opposite.
Yes.
I can't get over how bad he looks. This is bad.
And like you said, Chad, I mean, he's getting this big push, this big spot, and he shows up like this. I mean, unless it was really just like a last-minute thing. Because, again, this was taped the same night that he's... Did he steal the hat in episode one, or was it two?
It was two. So they had a busy night. They did all this crap and the actual match in one night.
So they probably just flew him in for this one show. I doubt he was ready to go. He's probably just been working house show stuff.
It's an interesting little mini feud in Savage's 90s. I mean, Savage in the 90s, like everybody said, I mean, he's kind of sporadic with the retirement in 91. And then even after that, you don't think of too many feuds, I'd say, from the 90s with him besides Crush and Flair in WWF after he retired. So this is kind of a cool little mini feud to watch.
Repo could have made it work if he was a little bit more in shape. They might have kept him around longer.
Yeah, it's possible.
Taking a break here mid-match. That,
I don't know why Savage... did we ever figure out why Savage didn't face anybody at WrestleMania 9? Or
I think maybe they just viewed him as part of the commentary team, I guess.
It's crazy.
I mean, we're making him pretty semi-active. I mean, WrestleMania was big at the time, but not a card where like everybody had to be on. We're in that weird stretch where it's just you know, feuds are feuds and whatever's going on. Like they weren't really shoehorning everyone in or trying to get every big name star on at that point. So I'm guessing that played a role.
Even if you wanted to do like him versus Razor, or if you'd have wanted to put over Luger pretty good coming in, he could have went over Savage, and that'd been a good push. Repo keeps going back to this body scissors. I don't know how successful that's going
to
be. Yeah,
he's about blown to take a nap. Up. That's why.
My God.
Now he's got his head on it, like, "Whoa, this is nice and soft." I think I'll take a powder too.
Savage
looks like
is
UFC.
Really...
Was that Steve?
It looks like UFC 4 here. Just like
four.
Was it like in the mount position for a second, and the back of the body scissors?
Not the best flattering pose here for Repo. Kind of turned with his gut hanging down.
There's the Paul Heyman view.
From payback, yeah. Worst camera angle of all time.
That was a pretty good short clothesline, finally.
So. You see him flashes of his talent, hit it in there.
His mask looks like it's about to cover his eyes. He needs to adjust that thing.
He's probably ready to pop off.
Oh, my Lord. This is a mess.
Hey, Repo's doing a little more work here than I would have thought at the beginning.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a quick squash just to get the hat back.
He's beat red right now.
He's definitely...
It's all over his body.
Yeah, he's on the verge of a heart attack. He needs Steve Corino to save his life.
Oh, he's pointing at the hat.
He's really rubbing it in, you know? I got your hat.
The hat doesn't even match tonight, though. I'll just bring a new one.
Hey, look, if I stole your hat, you'd come beat me up to get it back.
You're in better shape than Repo.
Thank you.
Sure. But you did wish you had an overcoat with tire treads on it, though.
I'm going to wear that outfit around Sesame Place.
Jesus.
Oh, God. I think you're a character.
Timely comedy by Rob Bartlett talking about the inauguration and Hillary Clinton and Tipper Gore's hats.
Of course. They get that news out there. Scott, were you at that inauguration?
Absolutely not. No, I was not. I did meet President Clinton, but during his second term.
The who did he beat in that one? Is that was Bush, right?
Obviously. He beat Daddy Bush.
Yeah, and Perot.
That's right, Ross. Was that Perot? That was Perot's first go?
Ross, yeah, that was when he actually garnered a percentage of the vote there.
Yeah.
Remember that election? Ross Perot would buy time on the networks, and he'd just sit at a table with a piece of poster board and a stick and, like, point to graphs. And that was his.
Then he said that there were aliens stealing his house or whatever that was. Aliens in the desert. Or
this is fat guy in tights stealing my hats. No, Perot, you're crazy.
No one's gonna do that. looks like Macho's mountainous comeback here.
Like he's setting up.
Here we go.
He should have taken the hat and put it on before the elbow.
Yeah, if he'd have put the hat on doing the elbow, that'd have been the... Yeah, that was a nice elbow drop there.
Yeah,
and there it is.
Good thing Repo's got a lot of padding.
Yeah.
All right, that match checked in at around the 12-minute mark, according to Graham.
Well, let's see this. I don't know. Nah.
Well, we're in the commercial, I guess, maybe.
Yeah. I think we gotta count that.
Well, we're at 12 minutes and 7 seconds of the show.
Right, well, the commercial is probably 2 minutes.
But that includes the open, yeah.
I think that's our new leader in the clubhouse right now.
All right.
I don't think he's done with he looks like he's not done with Repo, though.
He still don't care about the hat, though.
He's pissed.
Go get your hat.
Hey, maybe.
What's our official... What is our official?
He wasn't this mad when he thought Hogan was trying to steal all this. Right.
What's our match time? Sponsored by the history of WWE.com.
We'll go 12 minutes.
12 even? Okay.
I think it's going to erode quickly anyway tonight. So.
Yeah. So there you go. Savage now not matching, but has his hat back. So.
He should have took Repo's like towing little rope there thing that he has. Yeah, his little hook. Little retribution.
Should have choked him out with it.
Jesus, and what meat that Repo had on his body, this one needs to have a steak.
Yeah.
It's my marked improvement from the previous episode, though.
Yes, definitely.
And here we go. We get our first Raw pimp for WrestleMania 9, shot of Caesars.
Bret Hart, the most opulent hotel in existence. Yes. Caesars.
We're gonna subject poor Roger to watch that when we get down there chronologically. It's gonna be bad. Damian Demento coming to WrestleMania.
Yes, he's on his way. He's going for the Intercontinental title. There's Crush.
I've heard nothing but good things about WrestleMania 9. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Call the number now, 1-800-634-6698. Was that Mean Gene saying that, Steve?
What's that?
Was Mean Gene voicing that spot?
No, it was just Vince. It didn't even seem like a voiceover. It was just him continuing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Is that the Brawler?
Brooklyn Brawler?
Slicks with.
Yeah, this is face Kamala.
Oh, God. Face Kamala. Why? Was Slick still a reverend? Or,
I love that they're right there.
I think that's our
that
90s clubhouse.
Yeah, that hair was out of control.
Are we all in agreement that's our 90s leader right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that looked like a raccoon died on her head.
Well, she even had the checkered blazer, too. So.
Yeah.
There was someone in the front row earlier with a woman with an all-silver jumpsuit on. Like, very, it looked like it was made out of aluminum foil.
That's more 80s.
Brooklyn Brawler.
This is Brawler.
No David Von Erich.
This is Brawler's first Raw match. We'll see how many he has as we move along.
Do we classify Kyoto's hair as like a mini mullet, or what's going on there? Because he's got a little bit going in the back,
it's like an extended rat tail.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last time. I thought we said it was developing, but not quite there yet.
Yeah, in the stages.
I mean, as of now, I guess he's our leader. But
I think I asked this once before, JR. You probably know this. When did the ref switch from the blue shirts to the striped shirts? 95?
Yeah, 95, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, he's giving him the stink face. Is this a Kamala move? What the hell?
Ooh.
And butt drop.
He's moving pretty well here, Kamala.
Hey, before, there's, live chat corrections and people come to my house and sweep me away and I take over my spot here. It was Kerry Von Erich that body slammed Kamala, so... I apologize to everyone.
As long as you didn't say Lance, everything's fine.
I understand if you're not going to want me on anymore.
That's it. You're out. Make us look stupid.
There's a long list of people that want to sit in that seat.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we're not allowing any of them on. All right. So there's Kamala. Wow, a leg bar.
This is right out of the Brawlers playbook from WCF. I love it. Like, four of us get that joke now, right, Raj?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you don't know how long I studied that episode for the trivia tournament. Almost never asked a question on it.
Steve, I'm gonna burn you some WCF and send it your way. You can show the kids.
I would love it. Like I had a chart. I had a note card that I was memorizing at work during lunch. I'm going to win that part.
We've also disseminated that there's the WCF outdoor lawn work rate and the indoor basement work rate.
Yes.
Where moves are much smaller. And
well, Roger saw the best match in history, right? Max Flyer and Sexy Steve.
Max Flyer and Sexy Steve. Yep.
My namesake. It's my parents named me after.
Did that hold up well, Roger, that match?
Oh, did you all just... Those guys were
going places. That's all I know.
Right to Staten Island. Kamala still with the can't figure out how to pin guys. You think at some point it would just click that he can't.
But is that because the babyface didn't he know how to pin guys when he was a heel?
No, they used to yell. Then Kim Chi used to yell to turn him over.
Did he even do that as a heel? Okay.
Ugh. This is already too long.
Yeah. Yeah. He's went for the little heel leg thing a couple times now.
Which is crazy because we have pretty
stacked. Here we go.
Show.
Boom.
Big splash.
And he turns him over. What an idiot. Here we go.
But now he's under the ropes. Oh.
Oh, God.
Controversy.
Good audience participation here. I'll tell you, Slick looking a little punched up as well. I guess that headlock around hunger was for everyone. Someone get Repo Man a steak.
This is a late, so far this show, like Repo Man, Kamala, Slick, this is really late in these guys' career.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like they're right at the tail end of their relevance.
Oh, yeah, so. they're cashing checks. They're the pay window. That's pretty much all they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think by the summer, we really see a transition of the, I think we'll see that as we move along. I think following Mania and into King of the Ring, I think is when we start to see the real transition of the card, like all these guys getting phased out.
Oh, we're going to have an interview here with Kamala and Slick?
It was kind of sad when Slick left. I think he could have hung around a bit longer.
Slick could have probably hung around till probably 96. And then once it got a little more attitude.
Ready? Obligatory racist comment. He could have had him in the Nation.
Clarence Mason role in the Nation.
Any black guy ever has to go in the Nation?
Yeah. It could have been in the Nation. He's revving the crowd up. Look at that.
Woohoo!
I don't know if he's saying anything of relevance here.
No, he's saying that it wasn't him. He can't take all the credit for it. It was the great people that helped turn the Ugandan giant.
And God.
There's your mullet right there behind Slick.
Oh, yeah.
Move it out of the way, Kamala.
Oh, that guy right there with the mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's our clubhouse leader.
Couple of fans leading the category.
That sweater in the
that sweater was pretty
good. That was pretty good.
I think it might have been Anthony Licata.
That is Vlad again. It's the same night. Could have been double A.
A free Raw shirt this time, it looks like. Vlad.
They love Kamala, huh?
We definitely have to focus on the crowd shots. A lot of big hair.
I think they like anything they can get, they participate in at this point. You know, this crowd is all liquored up and ready to go.
We got a little recap here. Nope, still a report.
I was not expecting this.
Yesterday in Sacramento.
We had a show. This was probably taped from the week before.
Dragged Dean out of the bar.
That's a quick turnaround for the Coliseum video, isn't it?
February 11th? They're not that quick with the pay-per-views now.
Yeah, very
that's
quick
like turnaround. 2 weeks.
I have the, do I have that tape? Yes, I do. Rumble 93. Do you have it, JR, or did you have the dub?
Just the dub from watching it live.
Do you have it, Chad? Do you have the Coliseum video copy?
No, I have very few Coliseum videos. When the video stores in my town started going out, like we had a lot of movie galleries, and when they first went out, I was able to collect a couple. Had a Final Four, which was rare, I know, for a while. But I ended up trading it for some like Japanese wrestling and stuff. So. sad days in my tape trading life in the 2000s.
Anything important here, Willie, or is he just kind of recapping?
Yeah, I was about to say, is this just generic?
He's speaking very much in generalities, but giving results.
Well, yeah, they wanted you to buy the replay.
Somebody won the Rumble.
I think we should make Roger watch it again tomorrow, like he's ordering the replay.
I'm good. I got Yokozuna burned in my mind.
Well, get used to them. There's going to be a lot of them on these.
Yeah, you're going to have a heavy dose.
No pun intended.
Roger, were you a big Kamala fan back in the day?
I did like Kamala, yes.
Oh. Chad just disapproves of everything.
Do you not like Kamala, Chad?
No. I me and Parr don't disagree on don't agree on many things, but our hatred of Kamala we both kind of share. I just think I never got behind the gimmick. Him versus Jerry Lawler, they had a pretty good feud, and that's interesting. But otherwise, I thought he was kind of, I mean, I know that's kind of his gimmick is he's a dumb person, but I found it kind of offensive, actually. So
a long report for generalities.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Well, they are going into the debuts of Lex Luger and our friend, our dear friend, Al Gigante.
And now they slap the post report on the graphic there.
Duh. They officially like, put the rumble to bed now.
Thank you.
There we go. I
wonder if this girl's name is Amanda.
Big step up, though. She looks female, unlike the girls from the first two episodes of Raw.
I think we should be ranking the ring chicks.
Halfway decent one right there.
Oh, so sad. I get sad now when I see Slim Jim spots.
I forgot till today when I was watching some stuff from 1991 that Ultimate Warrior did a Slim Jim commercial. I'd forgotten about that he was like the original spokesperson.
Right, yeah, then Savage.
All right, here we go. Here is our main event.
Probably the most traditional Flair robe.
For most
of his WWF run, he busted out this one.
The black.
Every once in a while, the red would make an appearance, but...
So let me ask this, Steve, you said the Bushwhackers was supposed to be on here, right? So do you think that was just a kind of tease to not tip how long this match was going to go?
It could be, yeah. They said Luke and Butch would be in action.
So maybe you'd still sit here thinking, oh, we got another match to go, and you wouldn't really realize how long this was going to take.
Smart. I like that.
I like how Heenan got up from the announce booth, went and
shake his hand.
You could tell Bobby was... was very, very serious. Like that. That was almost like a shoot handshake there.
He, well, it's kind of fitting too that this happened to be the week Savage was out. They could have Bobby in the booth for this match, and he needed to be there for this one.
Yes, definitely. I agree.
Yeah, perfect. Now, loser leaves town. I remember being very heartbroken and sad before this match, because I loved both these guys back in the day, and I was not happy that one of them was leaving. I think it was fairly obvious, obviously, who's going to lose this match. At the time, and I remember calling the Journal line, and I heard the results because it was taped. I was being very upset. My cousin Matt was a diehard Flair fan, but I think I was actually rooting for Perfect anyway because he hadn't wrestled in so long; it was still very fresh. I think Flair was kind of like, okay, we've seen him now for a couple of years here.
I don't think he wore many other. Getting back to. Flair's garb, Chad. I don't think he wore much besides red either during his WWE.
He wore the purple.
Did he wear purple?
Yeah.
I know most of the big pay-per-view met, like when he fought Brett. When he fought Savage at 8, he had red.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he won the title back from Savage, he wore red. He definitely wore red when he lost to Brett. So definitely
When he won the Savage back, when he beat Savage for the title back, I think he had blue.
Did he have blue? Okay. Mm. I know he had red when he.
He wore the Rogers is shaking his head. He wore the light blue early on, like in 90, at the end of 91. He wore those a bunch.
Oh, okay.
This is a really nice showcase for babyface Perfect. You know, if you're a WWF fan at this time, you probably didn't watch a lot of his babyface AWA stuff. So interesting to watch because I really liked him as a babyface when I went through the 80s AWA stuff. He was really good. So,
yeah, you're right. Good introduction to him on a big show and a big match.
Yeah. Because even even in the Survivor Series match, he did kind of that tweener stuff where he walked to the back and came out again or whatever. A little consultation with Bobby here. He's got the ring bell stuffed in his pocket. So good.
So I'm guessing I may have to chalk it down now. I don't think we're going to beat the mullet or the
most 90s.
Most 90s, I don't think.
That girl's hair is pretty impressive.
That was pretty impressive. The Slayer dude in the front row. They look like a metal shirt, so I'm just going to go with Slayer unless you guys have a better idea what metal shirt he was wearing.
I'm not very versed in my metal.
I officially wrote Slayer dude, so there you go.
What do you think, Roger? Roger's our mullet connoisseur, so do you like that guy in the crowd or do you like Perfect's better?
That guy in the crowd for sure. Solid mullet and definitely a Slayer shirt.
I kind of dug how they had the banners all over the balcony. It really makes it feel like they took this place over and made it a home.
Mm, I agree. I was just thinking that myself, actually. This is a great match to have for this, you know, for the third ever Raw. We really want to establish the show as not just, you know, cheap gimmicks and stuff. They wanted to separate it from what primetime used to be. It was definitely a brilliant idea to have this match, booked. Really makes Raw stand out in its early stages. Slow, typical slow start for these two guys, feeling their way out.
Yeah, I think one good thing though with the opener is they're slow developing, but the intensity and the facial expressions are there. They're both putting over how serious the magnitude of the match so far, and they've used some stiffness with some shots. Flair got a couple of chops in, so it's definitely, you feel like as a viewer you're going to be in for the long haul. Watching the opening minute of this, but I mean, somebody has to lead the promotion, so there's a good bit of gravity to a match like this that they're conveying well. Oh, he's already putting down the strap.
Serious tonight.
Now, Flair would stay off camera. Till what? He made an appearance at what? Was it a pay-per-view, Chad? Was it Slamboree?
No.
When did he make... When he just came out. And he, like, walked... I remember he walked on the ring in a suit.
I guess it was Slamboree. Because it wasn't Super Brawl, right? It
was Super Brawl was February. It was whatever May or June.
He faces Wyndham at Bash at the Beach. Or Beach Blast. It was Beach Blast 93.
Really? He had fulfilled his... No compete by then?
Yeah, that's his first match, is versus Wyndham in July at Beach Blast.
I thought his match was that tag. Didn't he have a tag match at the Clash or something?
Yeah, wasn't it him and Arn against your boys?
I thought it was Beach Blast. All right, now I got to look.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look. Right, because wasn't it because he couldn't wrestle because of the no compete, and that's where the whole Flair for the Gold started, and then he had Austin and Pillman and the Flair for the Old and all that, and I don't remember them actually.
Oh, maybe.
No, you're right. No, you are right, Chad. Flair beat Wyndham to win the NWA World Title, Beach Blast, July 18th.
Yeah, but that doesn't say if that was his first match, does it?
Hmm.
Oh, God.
Let's check Slamboree.
Anybody see this? Is there anybody up to where Hennin takes the bump to the floor? It's nasty.
Yeah, he was flying up and over.
Jesus. Yeah. He like basically puts his back right on the post and then flies to the floor. We're through our first commercial break, and they did a pretty good tease spot to go to the first break where they were on the outside, and Flair grabbed a chair and looked like he's going to slam it on Henning, and Hebner like dove himself at the chair and actually fell down to kind of help Flair out, because I'd assume that had been a DQ, but that was kind of a teaser of the match being up to notch and the intensity level. Oh, and now Henning's got some good color and Flair's really punching him in the corner. That was a ridiculous Henning bump, but
yeah, that was pretty crazy.
That was a little much doing a front somersault. But
is this our first blood appearance on Raw?
Yeah.
Should mark that one down, Scott. Let's try to mark down some of these firsts.
There wasn't a lot of
first color. All right, as
I guess, yeah. I'm trying to think of like a pay-per-view since really Flair at WrestleMania 8 where he got color, because in any of the Brett matches he didn't bleed, did he? Or I don't recall.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think SummerSlam.
According to this, Chad, Flair was at Slamboree. That's when the Horsemen reformed with Roma.
Roma, yeah.
So he was at least back on camera in May.
Yeah, he was, and I know he was doing appearances at least through the June and stuff like that. I didn't know if that was his first match was at Beach Blast or not. I'm not positive. That Slamboree is a really cool show. That was in Atlanta. I actually went to that at the Omni, Slamboree 93. It was really nice. That was my first ever pay-per-view. I don't remember much, but kind of one for the record books.
I think I remember the Arn Wyndham match not being too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's when the blondes were dressed up in the mask for the cage.
Yeah, they fought Dos Hombres. No, they weren't the masks. Steamboat and Zenk were in the masks.
That's right, Steamboat. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Steve, at any point watching this at the time live, did you think Flair had any chance? Steve's Steve with us?
Steve, you there, Steve?
Sorry, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Got all excited about hair bands over here. I think towards the end of the match, they did a good job of teasing it because I was pretty sure Perfect was going to win. And I thought that he was going to, you know, I think it was towards the brawl on the floor a little bit. It's like, well, maybe they're going to pull the trigger.
Raj, how familiar are you with Perfect's, you know, as a good guy? It was like Chad was talking about earlier. Is this kind of a eye-opening thing for you, or because you used to see him, knowing him as the role he was in before?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm having a connection issue. Yeah, it very eye-opening. I only remembered him as a bad guy, as a heel, and I thought he was great at that. But I agree with you guys that the crowd's really behind him as a good guy. I like it.
So Perfect had a little bit of a comeback now, but yeah. Flair take it back over. You surprised Flair hasn't bled yet?
Oh, definitely. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Who would have had the? I wonder what the odds were heading into this that Perfect would have bled more than.
I wonder if that's hard way. Flair. I wonder if Vince was a little skittish at that time about having any kind of real color.
No, it looks like a blade to me.
Yeah, yeah. It was right after he dumped to the floor off that corner bump.
Yeah, I don't know if too many people get cut in the head accidentally and bleed. Yeah, that's definitely a.
Yeah,
oh,
he played it.
Yeah, he played it.
I always like when Perfect did the chops to rub it into Flair. Oh, nice suplex back in.
Yeah, that was a good
very
suplex.
Nice. Very impressive.
It's been a real while since I've seen this full match because on that Raw set, the anniversary set, they chopped it up, right?
I don't know.
I thought it was cut up on the. Whatever.
Was this on the Perfect set that they did?
Might have been.
The disc.
I know the Raw set that where they had the pop ups. I'm pretty sure they cut it up.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought you were talking about that Raw 20, the silver box set, because I don't think this episode's on there.
No, the one where they went through the history of Raw. The
the Raw 15 or whatever. Yeah. It is. The Raw 15. No, this is definitely chopped up, or that was chopped up.
So, Chad, you saw a Sid Vicious 35-second match against Van Hammer?
Yes.
Wow.
Very vivid memories. I actually don't. I've rarely, honestly, from that show, because I was, I was 7 at the time. So the thing I only remember really is the cage match. I do remember the cage and the Dos Hombres, but that's the only thing I can remember from that show. So it's kind of disappointing because that was the last pay-per-view in Atlanta until Royal Rumble 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
So that's because once Bischoff came in charge, you know, he wanted to make Vegas and Washington D.C. kind of the meccas for the big shows. So they'd have big nitros in Atlanta, but not at pay-per-views.
Well, then there was that, 3-year stretch where Starrcade was in Nashville.
Yeah, you had that's 94 through 96.
96. Yep. So I remember 96 is the Piper Hogan was in Nashville. And then the big Hogan Sting at 97, I think, was the first one in D.C.
Right.
That's a bummer, though. Well, I guess early 90s, I think the Omni was probably outliving its...
It's just kind of weird that this a town that big, and then that was around the time where, you know, there was a long stretch where Vince and them, they wouldn't even come to Atlanta for house shows or nothing. So I lived in Kentucky in 94 and watched a house show in Evansville, Indiana. It was either 93 or 94, but yeah, I went a long time. The first Raw that was in the Georgia Dome had a lot of buzz to it. I remember that vividly. That was a lot of fun. Guys are really selling, so it looks like we're kind of entering the home stretch here. Flair going for the figure four.
They've teased quite a few Perfect comebacks. That last one even hooked in a chin lock for a bit.
Yeah.
Yep, and there's the figure four.
How's Bobby, Steve? Have you been listening at all? Is he?
Oh, he's getting very animated right now. And I think this was, now that I remember, I think this was when I was starting to believe that there was a chance at Flair winning, because there, I don't remember there being much time left in the show, like trying to remember, like, how are they going to get this in on time? Because remember, this was only an hour show.
Right, and no overrun, really, at the time. They used to pretty much go right till 10, and that was it. Has the crowd been into it, too?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Everyone's standing right now.
Even Earl's really
feeling
it.
At least on one side.
Earl's feeling it in this this match as well. Like you said before, Chad, when he dove on the floor, and even now he's getting all animated.
Chad also saw the only nails match in WCW.
Right.
Yes,
Prisoner.
That's right. Versus Sting. Epic battle. That's an interesting show. I'm kind of excited to get to that with Parv. Because the Davey Boy Vader match is really good, but Davey Boy Smith, that whole 93 run in WCW is kind of interesting. Feels a little out of place, but he does a decent job. Oh, Flair at the top, such a high risk move for him.
Oh, off to another commercial.
Good sell of the leg by Henning.
Mm.
Still gimping around.
Flair kind of landed on his arm.
That looked like that commercial. They didn't edit anything. I mean, it feels like we came right back into almost the same frame. I don't know. I mean, maybe the obligatory international foreign object here.
Uh-oh.
Boom. That was a nice punch.
Well, that was right in his mush.
I would say this really is good. Probably the most in question this match was right here when Flair decked him with the.
Yeah, that was a good punch.
I love all the teases of the comebacks, and Flair keeps cutting them down every time.
Yeah, this is probably about like four times they've kind of teased it, and Flair's shown his resilience. I mean, they didn't bitch Flair out on his way out. He's looking pretty strong in this match.
I think they probably knew it was more important to the legacy of Raw to have an awesome match probably than to worry about putting Perfect over Strong and jobbing Flair out, you know? I think they probably wanted to deliver a classic. Like,
that's such a great expression of Bobby. Oh, man.
Seats that weren't there before. And the people who are there are, most for the most part, standing. And Bobby are just going back and forth screaming at each other right now.
Vince and Bobby is kind of probably an underrated. They're interplay with each other. They have some good chemistry, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about Gorilla and Bobby, but Ventura and Vince kind of is the Vince pairing you think about sometimes. But Vince and Bobby is good. Here we go. Now, this is pretty much like a Hulk up from Perfect here.
Dude, looks like he's in tears.
Yeah, walking like Frankenstein towards it. And there were some nasty looking chops. Can't hear the sound, but they look good.
Man, again, Flair. Just landing on his, mostly on his arm on the way down.
Kudos to Flair, too, really bumping around and making Perfect look strong in his final match. I mean, he could have. I know it's not really Flair's style, but he could have lazed out a bit.
Oh, here we go. This is one of my favorite Flair spots with the the Flair flip and then the Flair run flop. Up the rope. Yeah.
Get caught with a clothesline coming off. There was a stretch of about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where Vince hopped his voice up to that upper octave there. Usually he comes down, he just kept it up there. He just kept going at that higher octave. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh my God. Just kept going.
That was definitely one of the things you remind, or you think of Vince when you think of this time period, is that voice going up towards the end of the match.
Yeah, and it's just been going for the last few minutes. I get that.
A lot of teases here, too, even. I mean, you thought after that Perfect Hulk up, he's going to go right to the finish, but they keep teasing some more, and I think this is about it here.
Perfect, here we go.
Perfect Plex. And Ric Flair's career has ended in the World Wrestling Federation.
Big pop.
Would you say, guys, look at those mustaches.
This crowd's going bananas.
Yeah, they are going bananas. Next to the match with Savage at 8, would this be Flair's best WWF match to this point?
The Brett match was really good, too. Not as good.
The Saskatoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this Saskatoon, I like the Brett Saskatoon match better than this.
I mean, if you count, don't count the Rumble, I guess.
I don't know if we count it, but have either of y'all seen his Iron Man match with Brett from the Boston Garden in January?
I've heard that match is tremendous.
Yeah, that match is really great. That is a excellent Iron Man match. Maybe an outside contender for best Iron Man match in WWF history, actually. I can see an argument for that. So
you can tell Bobby's very emotional. Like, this is not a...
Yeah, I kind of have him leave with them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So, this is up. I mean, this is certainly in the conversation, I'd say.
Well, we have a new leader that is probably going to last for quite a while. 23 minutes. That match checked in at, and easily the best match to date in the company history. Roger, what'd you think of that? Was that the first time you've seen this one? Did we lose him?
Did he hit the red button?
That was the first time I saw it, yes.
What'd you think?
Great match. Really, really liked it. The I thought Perfect was great. I didn't think Flair was as good as you guys did, but what do I know?
Do we do you feel like that was better than anything on the Rumble?
No. I think the Michaels Jannetty match was still better than that one.
Oh my lord.
Look at that combo for next week.
What did we do to, I guess you gotta
come down somehow.
Chemical equilibrium.
I like how it was the clown in parentheses.
It's like there's another one.
Doink the clown.
Doink!
Yeah, the clown.
Yeah, what other profession is somebody named Doink going to be?
I can think of one, right, Roger?
Yeah, you know, there is one more out there, Chad, believe it or not.
All right, guys. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? That wraps up episode 3, January 25th, 1993. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and check out the February 1st, episode 4 of Monday Night Raw. We'll be right back.
Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Police Simulation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real To Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at the History of WWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
All right, Nation, we're back. Just wrapped up our first episode of Monday Night Raw. But to get to one more, but first we're going to look at PlaceToBeNation.com, what's going on there. New episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show, Stephen Graham's weekly show, and yours truly was on this week, along with Aaron George. We looked at the year at a glance of 1996 WWF. Talked about a lot of the debuts, kind of the change in presentation, the different pay-per-view matches that were big in that year. Looked a lot at Shawn Michaels' title run. So some pretty fun stuff there. Aaron is great as always, and Steven does an awesome job hosting that show, so be sure to check it out. As we mentioned earlier, the Cowboy went to class today, reviewed Royal Rumble 1993. The debut of a new piece, the movies of Place to Be's Generations, and what we did, Will, are you in this?
Yes.
Okay, you want to explain it for us?
Yeah, this was Nick Duke's brainchild. We went back and figured, we have 10 of us, and we figured out who is the oldest,
and that was
who
we
started with.
And who was
that would have been, let me see here, Place to Be Nation member Steve Willey.
Oh, okay.
And so we started at 1976, and we each picked five of our favorite movies from that time period, ranked them 1 to 5. Nick tabulated all the votes, and then each of us wrote a little synopsis on it. Doesn't have to be best movie, like the best picture. It's just, you know, the five that meant the most to us. So any kind of criteria you wanted.
And now we're going to do this every year until 2013, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, we are. So. And we've already sent in 1977, so Nick is tabulating as we speak.
Very cool. So be on the lookout for that every few days at PlaceToBeNation.com. 1976 is up now. So big movies in that year. We had Rocky, of course. Was probably arguably the biggest, right? All the President's Men, Network, Taxi Driver, some of the ones talked about here.
Yeah, that's great, a loaded year. Yeah.
Well, the next year is going to be even more loaded. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
All right, Todd Gessling continued his World Cup preview looking at groups E and F. You can check out his full preview if you just go to that one and click the sports tab. You can see all the World Cup previews that Todd has put together. We had Glenn Butler's usually awesome Wednesday walk around the web looking at all the titillating, amusing, and thought-provoking links from around the internet. A new episode of The Bauer Show. Looking at Dan Marino's potential lawsuit that kind of is and wasn't, and sportsmanship. New episode of Titans of Wrestling, looking at January and February 1975 with Parv, Pete, Johnny, and Kelly. Inside the Legends House, episodes 6 and 7 both went up recently. Scott, you and Dan McGinn did a recap of those shows. So we're going to be winding down, right? How many were there?
There were 10. The one this week is number 8, so there'll be three more episodes.
All right, Russell Sellers had his new hotness with his top comic picks for the week. You have all your recaps with Raw, Main Event. Matt McCullough gave a last look at Payback, and so did Scott Keith. He did his recap as well, plus the live blog, which had Scott, you, and Steve Willey were in there. I think Chad popped in here and there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
Glenn Butler.
That's a fun read even, you know, now. Like, going back and reading about it, you guys were very entertaining. And you can get their takes on the show that went down last Sunday. As Scott mentioned earlier as well, we have the new Payback 2014 Reaction Podcast with Will, Chris Zellner, Dylan Hales, Johnny Sorrow, and yourself, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Broke down the show as soon as it ended, and we have those each and every month here after every special event. New five count was up, looking at our favorite factions, PlaceMediation.com, and I think our list was far superior to the network countdown version. I think we hit some of the more important factions, and we did not have the Brood anywhere near there that I saw.
Yeah.
Ugh. Joel Barnhart, our MLB expert, had up his May 2014 power rankings for the month. Be sure to check those out. Jeremy Nichols, Inside the House of Horror, looked at Friday the 13th, Part 7. And then we had the Honor Report, SmackDown review from Matt Petticord, and a new episode of the Still Real to Us podcast. And the high spot, Steve Willey and Glenn Butler, looked at Ring of Honor, the Von Erichs, TNA, Payback. And also we had a tribute to Macho Man because it was 3 years in May that he had passed away. So we have that up as well. We gave some memories of where we were when we found out the news. And then Stephen Sutton wrote a nice long piece on the career of Savage, pretty much covering every major feud and match he had throughout his illustrious career. Also be sure to check out a new episode of the Steve Carino Show featuring video game guy Brad Cook for the, was it Outside the, I always get this wrong, Outside of the Park, is that what it is? You're laughing, but you're not correcting me, you asshole. Out of the Park baseball.
God. That's one for swearing, by the way.
You know, it's Chad's fault, because I remember when he worked for us, and now he's watching footage for some other thing and writes opuses on Facebook and doesn't do jack shit for PlayStation.
Opuses.
Opie.
3 minutes of timeout.
Opie. New episode of the Main Event, episode 10, Payback preview, whatever. Move on. Chad's ruined everything. As always.
Oh, man.
I don't know why we keep bringing him on these things.
PlaceMediation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. All right.
Thank you.
Briefly acclaimed 10th episode of Main Event. My phone was ringing off the hook.
Fed. Duncan was still positive a little bit about the product at that time.
Never.
A lot of hope.
Another sad Sally.
All right. A lot of hope in that one.
All right, let's fire up this Raw.
Before we do this, we didn't grade.
We're gonna talk about Pirates.
We gotta do the final awards for episode 3. All right, I think it's safe to say Slayer Dude gets best mullet.
Yes.
A woman with puffy hair, very puffy hair, gets the most 90s. We get the first color, Chad, of Raw history.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Kamala.
Oh, that wasn't even me.
And, what does that supposed to mean? That wasn't even the racist guy.
Somebody else. No, I don't know. Okay. And so what do we grade the show?
I'm going to give it at least like an 8, right? 8 or 9? One of the best matches in company history, in Raw history.
8.5, I say.
Yeah, I'm with Scott, 8.5. I graded the last show an 8. I thought it did a good job building. I mean, this show, the Repo Savage match, wasn't anything spectacular, but it did show Savage having the longest match and getting his revenge. And then, the perfect Flair match takes up so much time. That's more than half the episode right there. That's a great match. So high rankings for me on this one, 8.5.
Steve?
I'm going to go 9. I loved it. I even liked the Savage Repo match just for the a little bit of comedy. And Savage is great, I thought, in it.
What do you think, Raj?
I'll go 8.5 just because I don't want to give a different answer than Chad and have him chastise me.
Chad's got a rep. Yeah, let's go 8.5 there, Scott, then. We'll go with that. Is that our highest ranking so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first episode was a 7, and the second one was an 8, so it was 8.5.
I think it's safe to say our match, maybe we'll track this too, just our best match so far is Perfect Flair. We'll see if anything tops it or when it does.
Yeah, the best match of the Raw run so far. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right, is everyone queued up for episode 2 here tonight?
4.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, episode 2 on the night. But yes, episode 4 from February 1st, 1993. I'll count us in. 3, 2. Okay. We cold open right into our animation. And I believe we'll check Mr. Graham. I think this one was live now. Yes.
Everyone excited?
It had to be live because the night before was the day before was Super Bowl 27 when the Cowboys beat the Bills the first time, and that was the day that Andre passed away. So
I thought they fought that during Royal Rumble.
No, that was the when they played the Niners in the NFC because that was the first year that there was no. Are you criticizing me talking about the bye week too, Chad? You know, Roger, you're right.
Oh, big opener here, though. Tatanka making his Raw debut.
It's David DeVito, dude.
Who is he talking to?
He's talking to his friends from the outer reaches of your mind.
Oh, my God.
Roger, how familiar are you with Damian DeVito?
Just from the last Raw match that I saw him in. Was it against The Undertaker,
I think? That's right. He did face The Undertaker, Mondo Clean.
He was in the Rumble as well.
Yes, he was.
He was afraid to go in when Giant Gonzalez was in the ring. That was his claim to fame for that one.
That's nice.
He's just demented. I'm not saying he's an idiot. Willie, were you a Tatanka guy?
No, I was not. Sorry.
What is this rank on the mullet? Because it's a colored mullet. And Demento's got the shaved mullet, the skullet. So these two guys are coming out hard out of the gate in the mullet competition.
Demento's just too crazy.
Yeah, and Demento's is part of the gimmick. It's not like he's probably doing it on purpose.
Yeah. I'd say Tatanka's probably our leader right now. His quality, the full mullet plus the red hair.
Roger, a fire.
Roger, do you know what the red hair symbolizes?
I couldn't tell you for $1 million.
Anyone? No one?
No, I don't. I actually don't Will either. It?
No, I'm taking some deep breaths right now.
It was symbolic of all the blood of his ancestors that had been spilled.
Very nice.
And here's Tatanka, fun fact.
If somebody didn't answer the question, I'm afraid we'll probably start listening to the song on the WrestleMania tape or whatever. Cheers.
Yeah, Native American blood in my veins.
All my little braves.
Tatanka's coming out hot in this match, man. I'll fire it up.
So I believe during the Rumble, they said Tatanka was undefeated. Is that right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost a year at this point. He had debuted in March 92, had been undefeated since then.
So up for grabs here. Big stage for Damian.
It was always kind of a goofy.
That was a good close.
Always kind of a goofy undefeated streak, though, because he didn't really get like a title match or anything out of it. Like, how long did he need to go undefeated before he was considered a title contender?
Yeah, really. His first title program, I guess, was the IC title, right? Mm. Coming up. So he was hanging out for a while.
So, Scott, do you think the name Tatanka was offensive?
Well, he used it to make money, so.
I know. Should do a poll.
Wow.
I think it was a Dances with Wolves thing, right? Was it?
No, there was someone in the front row doing the chop with the Syracuse Orangeman sweater on with his son in the beginning. I'm not making that up.
That's funny.
Yes, no, I saw that.
Yeah,
that's a racist against oranges. So
I mean,
you should take it off.
What about the tangerines? Tatanka,
who hates tangerines?
Yes, Tatanka was Native American for Buffalo, I believe, right? Some Dances with Wolves.
So Damian DeMento, first guy on twice that we've seen? First repeat? Did we see Tatanka on the first episode?
Perfect?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, perfect. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So he's a second repeat guy. You got that
going. He's not so subtly trying to change the subject.
Demento working this chin lock here.
I just wonder, like, Demento and Tatanka both, like, in everyday life, I mean, they're walking around going to Burger King, like, with these haircuts and their street clothes. Like, I mean, could they be anything else but a pro wrestler looking like this?
They're pretty big dudes. I don't think anyone's saying a word to them about it.
Yeah.
Demento's huge.
Yeah, he is a big guy. Demento's really is
big.
He's very slender legs.
What?
I think Tatanka was. Tatanka was like a professional bodybuilder, right? Before he was a wrestler.
That's an interesting little fun fact, Raj.
Hey, Wikipedia is good.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have it up right now, but
he's very thick, Tatanka, upper and lower body.
Moving on a pretty good clip here.
Mm. Oh, it's been a pretty good match, honestly. I've enjoyed it. Tatanka gets to win. Papoose to go. That was 130. No, I'm sorry. That was 410, that match.
130 was the fastest minute. Slowest
it was a good. It was a good 410.
So apparently, Willie, I don't know if you heard this. There were chants of We Want Flair during that match.
No, I didn't hear that.
JR, Charlotte Hornets hat sighting. Nice. I think that kid, I think he's the 90s guy for the show.
He was probably fired up. Their first playoff series was coming up just a couple of months from now.
Yeah.
Back to Macho Man, huh? No more Heenan?
That's it, Heenan's out. Look at that bedazzled headlock on hunger shirt.
Bart looked like he whacked somebody in his wardrobe there.
There's Brett handing an American Red Cross check. Looks like it is.
The berserker out there. We're having this nice ceremony. This guy's out there. The freaking Viking.
Berserker, a bum.
Head shrinkers next to him. Bam, like bam.
They had to have these guys all out in their costumes, you know.
That is so weird.
Maybe it's a lumberjack match.
Little shot of Flair. See him in the corner.
Yeah, Flair's there too. Yeah.
Must be a lumberjack match.
Yeah, nice, pretty coin.
I think they were pretty open. Did they have slick? Is that slick in the
ring? Get the ring.
Yes.
Showing the diversity. Hey, we're trying to feed all the guys in Africa. Get slick in the ring.
What is he doing?
Where's Kamala?
Oh man,
he's the ambassador to Uganda. I think Flair. They were pretty open about him filling his contractual dates. I believe they didn't really hide the fact that he was still around working house shows.
Is Slick posing as a dignitary for the American Red Cross?
I don't know. He must be like the representative from the WWF side or something.
Yeah, I guess.
He's very excited. He's clapping vigorously when Brett hands the check. St. Louis Blues jersey there.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
I thought I saw. Did I see a Sharks jersey too? Or is. I thought I saw the turquoise and the shark. Is that too early?
As I say, when did they debut?
No, they're there.
93 or 94?
Okay. No, they're there because they debuted the same year the Ottawa Senators came back. And in 93, this year, 92-93 was the last year the New Haven Senators in at the Coliseum. So they're definitely around.
They debuted in 1991.
Mm. Vince introducing...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
The Greatest. Butcher.
I was so excited. Actually, we have a new mullet leader, but... I was so.
Oh yeah, Beefer definitely takes the cake.
Great, great mullet.
I was pumped over the weekend. I was pumped over the weekend when they had said Beefcake would be on Raw. I was a huge Beefcake fan, big time mark for Beefcake. He had been off TV since what, early '92 when he was doing the barbershop. Hadn't wrestled since the summer of '90, so I was really excited for him to come back here. Vince seems happy too.
Vince is like goating over this.
So I think it's a pretty long promo. Is this the infamous one where the guy in the crowd, Steve, you have to listen for this, where they tell him to go kill himself because he starts telling the sob story about his wife leaving him and his mother dying and all this stuff?
That's nice.
Now, be on the lookout. I did see a flash of a 16-year-old redhead mullet.
Better than Beefcake's?
I would need to see it. It was just a flash. It was pretty cut short on the sides.
Ginger mullet. That trumps all other mullets.
Yeah, I love the two-tiered color mullet.
That's good, too. It tops the Tonkas because this was painted red. Beefcakes has just died from the sun, I guess. I don't know. Vince has the all-time pompadour working here, too. So
yeah, he is very poofy.
But yeah.
See, I'm glad they did a close shot of that big dude with the Broncos sweatshirt. I was wondering what team that was, and And he did a close up, and it was the Broncos.
You think he fit in the elevator up in the Manhattan Center? Because I've heard it's
God.
We have to delay Raw tonight. There's a fat man stuck in the elevator.
Who's doing the announcement? Jake's daughter?
Yes.
That's
my boyfriend.
Fuck you, Daddy.
The Beefcake, his sad story, I believe that he's the telling here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beefcake. Oh, that was a Ranger hat. Big, no shock there.
Yes, I believe he talks about his mother dying, his wife leaves him, then he got in the accident. And I don't know if he's saying that right now. Steve, can you verify for us?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yep.
Someone tells him to go kill himself?
Someone yells it from the crowd. They say, go kill yourself. crowd. It's like really loud and audible, I'm pretty sure.
She'll laugh.
Yeah,
is that you, Chad?
85-year-old frail mother dying.
It's around right around this part.
This is that the section of the crowd that the camera's on right now is the one that's got all the misfits. There's JR, the Lakota guy there with the
That was an angry ginger.
And then there's Lakota guy with the mustache. And there's somebody with a Bob Backlund T-shirt on.
Not a lot of happy people. Jeez. Ron Howard. Do we Do anyone think Beefcake could come back and be a player on any level here at this point?
He was in shape. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think it was smart what they ended up doing with him in the tag role. I like that.
This crowd is so apathetic.
Oh, God!
He was like picking his nose.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, that was brutal.
Roy Biggins.
That's got to be its own award. That's its own something.
Be its own separate award. Public embarrassment of a human being.
Like George Costanza eating the ice cream at the U.S. Open.
For those not watching along, a 400-pound man just got caught picking his nose.
Apathetically, as Beefcake tells a sob story.
No, like the crowd looks stunned. This is...
Like, what the fuck?
Beefcake is... He's sweating. He's going through his whole ordeal here.
Yeah. We're just going back quick to the point of him coming back. I thought it was good, too, because they were lacking some star power. Flair's gone. Really, the biggest name they had probably was Undertaker, and I guess Savage still, but... I thought Beefcake just adding some name value and recognition was pretty good.
Mm. Yeah. Gabe Sapolsky.
It just looks like no one gives a shit about
it. Yeah, they haven't shown anyone that has any kind of reaction towards this thing other than apathy.
JK, are you going to cut someone's hair?
They're trying to scan the crowd for somebody showing some emotion, but it's not working.
There is nothing here.
Wow, this is terrible. Oh, poor bastard.
Are you guys hearing this too, or
no?
We're just living through you.
I got the closed captioning on.
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh yeah, he first did talk about his mom to passing, then his dad passing, then he went to go to his wife for help, and she slapped him across the face with the divorce papers. Then he started
awesome
talking about the accident and getting airlifted out.
That'd be
awesome. We just got a name drop here.
Yep, he just mentioned Hogan.
That would have been great if that really happened. He walks to the house and the wife just slaps him across the face with the papers.
They just rolled up.
Or if he came in from the boat on Thunder in Paradise, that'd have been even better.
A steel. What did he say? A steel thing holding my forehead up? Is that what that said?
Eight steel plates, 30 screws, 500 stitches. Christ.
This was not
Hulkster
the
Hulkster was there as they pulled the bandages.
The big
is this true, guys?
Yeah, the face injury is true.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's exaggerated as he's saying, but it was. Yeah. He really did have his face caved in, and he needed metal plates and everything. Yeah. That's why he had to take time off. Did he? This is just not the. Oh, there's another kid picking his nose.
There's another kid picking his nose.
Oh my God!
Oh man! Oh man!
Not a better night for the New York crowd. This is just not
like
the best.
Doing it on purpose.
This is not the best way to re-debut Beefcake with a 10-minute promo.
10-minute promo.
This might be the longest match we've seen. Is Beefcake's promo? Christ!
I don't think even during his initial run, I don't think he ever spoke this much.
Lord,
like combined.
He had a talk show, didn't he?
Beefcake's mic in his nose.
Fucking barbershop, he'd hand over the mic. This is a life story.
I mean, Beefcake sweating like a pig and telling his life story here, and they're showing a bunch of people in the crowd picking their nose. Do you think that's like subliminal advertising? Or?
And then Dino Bravo took my place in the dream team.
After a fantastic episode number 3, this one is struggling right now.
The rankings are going to be good for this one.
Well, Typhoon versus Doink's coming up, though. So.
Which Doink? Doink.
The clown.
There you go.
Right.
This has all become about Hulk Hogan now.
She had to take a picture of this momentous moment.
Now, they haven't said, though, that Hogan's come back. I think it was the next week on, like, Superstars. I remember Gene saying, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hulk Hogan shows up. Because I don't think he says here that he's definitely coming. He just name drops him a lot.
Mm. Oh, here comes the Shears. He's making his comeback in the promo.
Yep.
He's put out.
Haven't had any crowd close-ups lately since they've embarrassed themselves terribly.
Yeah. Mercifully.
Hey.
So he's putting out an open contract for anyone to come and take him on. I'd watch who you're slapping hands with.
Yeah, don't high five that guy, that's for sure. Nope. We have our WrestleMania.
The most opulent.
I remember I went to Caesar's Palace and I asked the guy where WrestleMania occurred, and I guess the arena where it was had been completely wiped out by that point and when they renovated the little outdoor arena part.
Mm.
So is it, it's just nothing now?
Yeah.
Or what?
I don't think so. I think they built a new arena.
Oh.
Indoor. Whatever.
It's in Vegas or Atlantic City?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Nope, Raw in order.
Mm. Yep. About a six.
Play on words there.
Yeah, we're back to the D team.
Oh,
yeah.
that's like a half long. Look at that.
I know, not bad from behind.
I don't know, guys.
That's pretty racy.
I'm with you, Roger. I'm with you.
93. I'm a little surprised we're getting that cheek. Oh, here we go.
There they are. Go ahead, JR. Say it.
Yeah, high energy.
There
you go. High energy.
Well, who are the two jobbers?
I like the it's Von Cruz, I think. I like the red for Coco. It's alternate.
Mm. Change of pace. That Iron Mike Sharp?
6A, isn't that Mike Sharp?
Yeah, it's definitely Mike Sharp.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Von Cruz and Iron Mike Sharp.
What a powerhouse team.
Isn't
right
Von
there.
Cruz as Vito, isn't it?
Yeah.
Future
from the
Vito.
FBI.
I love the red for Coco.
High show. Energy automatically wins most 90s whenever they're on the show.
That's
right.
Yeah, I guess they lock it up. Yeah.
Which is none.
Coco or the duo or Owen?
I think of the two, it's Coco. Oh, really?
Ooh, you think so? Owen's got the checkered suspenders, which I think puts it over the top.
True. I was thinking more Coco with the haircut.
They're really a vicious combo of
Let's
all
us,
things.
We'll 90s. Give it to both of them. We'll just give it to the team.
Do we still have Tatanka's best mullet?
No, I think Beefcake tops him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Beefer. I'm sorry. Yeah, Beefer.
Mike Sharp's a big dude, too, huh?
Yeah, he is. Do you remember Mike Sharp watching as a kid, Roger?
Nope. Not at all.
He was a perennial jobber on the house show circuit.
So I'm sure I've seen him just.
Yeah.
Never really stuck out.
Yeah.
I remember the brawler.
Yeah.
Canada's greatest athlete, is what he used to say.
That referee's Joey Morella, right? I think I remember him.
Yep.
He's working a bit of a mullet, if you check it out.
I agree with you, JR. I think I like Coco in the red too. Change of pace.
Especially with the salmon boots, you know?
Yes.
Really offsets it nicely.
Yes. Owen's pretty much has his normal high energy colors, the blue and the green. At this point, though, did anybody think these tights were still good?
That's a nice finisher right there. Dropkick into the jackknife pin, and high energy picks up the very quick win.
That's a nice... I love that finisher.
Whoa.
What a year for Owen, though. I mean, a year from now, where he's at compared to this. It's like night and day. I mean, this was, they're fine as a kind of, no pun intended, high energy tag team. But
I was going to say that it's a fitting name because they really get the crowd up and going after that promo.
That was perfect timing. Quick and got in and out.
So we go to commercial. We return. Another shot of this hideous crowd.
Serious purple tracks.
Look at that pants.
Oh, that's 90s. That's really 90s,
that's
right?
That's a big contender.
Do we think that tops high energy?
I don't know. It's tough to top high energy.
Oh, a flashback to our episode one with the Green Bay, Wisconsin 11.
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
The Green Bay 11s. That sounds like an old, you know, early era baseball team. Doink murdered. There she is.
Oh. There she is.
Doink beats on Crush with his arm full of batteries. He's about to make a... Is this his TV debut? Or had he wrestled on Superstars? Do we know?
I don't.
Doink?
Graham doesn't have it as his debut. Usually he mentions it.
Mr. Thumbs Up there is going to go down too.
There he is, Mr. Bourne himself.
So was it Mosh that we saw the first episode? Mosh or Thrasher?
It was Glenn Ruth Thrasher.
Thrasher. So now we got Big Vito that we saw.
Yep. Should we track those two, Scott? Future wrestler jobbers?
Future jobbers? Okay. What's episode one?
I mean, well, future stars, I guess we should say.
Jobbers. Future stars. Glenn Ruth.
It looks like Doink wrestled on possibly All-American before this, at least.
What a place to debut.
It's not clear because it's like on the All-American taping section.
Oh yeah, who knows, it may have been after this, but this is certainly very early in
actually, you know what, he fought Boss Man on Superstars. That was Boss Man's, well, that aired after this though. It was taped before this. It would be Boss Man's last match.
Doink's this reason. Seems like a pretty competitive, I mean, Typhoon had certainly lost a good bit of steam, but feels like a pretty good competitive match for Doink getting thrown in there against.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get to see him.
Oh,
see
what he's got. Doomed down pretty
easy.
Oh,
single leg takedown there.
I think it was really smart the way they let him kind of go out and work that way right out of the gate to get him over is what the original gimmick was. He's a weird, creepy, psychotic clown, but when he got in the ring, he could really go. And I think that's what he does throughout most of 93 before he becomes kind of a joke at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's looking really good here, and I got to give Typhoon credit. He bumped great off of that.
I think we see some pretty solid Doink matches on Raw throughout this year.
Yeah, isn't there one where he faces Marty Jannetty?
Yep, and Perfect.
Remember that? Too. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that when we get there. I always liked the Doink character until it got stupid. Like, as absolutely. A psychotic heel, basically until he turned face. But
yeah. I think that's everybody's general opinion. That's Matt Bourne. The guy knew the character. He knew how to make it. He knew how to put it over.
Do you have memories of the heel, Doink, Raj?
No. This Doink is the heel Doink?
Yeah.
Not really at all.
I'm curious to see what you think of his involvement here.
Yeah. I mean, he's wrestling. He's wrestling quite. I mean, I barely remember him wrestling. To be honest, I remember more just being like a sideshow with the little with Dink.
Oh God!
Right.
Completely controlling this match with Typhoon here.
Yeah, Typhoon surprisingly so. Like out, just wrestling him down on the mat over and over.
And poor Typhoon got eliminated by his own tag team partner less than a week ago.
And I think Earthquake. That was he wasn't around too much longer, was he? I think he might have been left after the Rumble.
And then he came back as a sumo star the next year.
Comes back in
he went to Japan. He went to Japan pretty closely right after that.
Well, he's at 10, right?
Yeah, well, he comes back.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
But he wasn't sumo yet. That wasn't until the middle of the year, right?
Right. The Rumble is his only appearance in 1993, Earthquake.
He was a legitimate sumo wrestler, right? Legitimate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah,
legitimate badass too, Roger. There's a match that you should look up online of him versus Fred Catal. in Japan, and Katao tries to shoot on him, and Earthquake just like bitches him out huge and like takes him down and basically rides him for a minute, and then they call the match. It's pretty humorous to watch. Like, Katao totally like takes his ball and goes home when he realizes he's fucked with the wrong fat dude.
That's a pretty cool little flurry there. Doink like gave these rapid fire slaps to Typhoon. Typhoon just picked him up and hit a pretty good power slam.
Yeah, nice comeback, guy. This is, I think, been the highlight of this show so far, probably.
That's the best pin of all time right there. He sat on him and pulled the tights.
Pulled his nuts. Handful of the little Ottman.
Yeah, it looked like he pulled his balls.
He grabbed Uncle Fred and the cousins.
Yeah. that's when Fred became the shock master right there at that moment. Boink, doink.
Boink, doink.
That was a good match.
How long was that?
It was
3 minutes, 4 minutes?
Crap, hang on, I lost it. It was...
Oh, he's got the Devious music now, too.
3:13, yes.
Yeah, so for a sub-4-minute match, that was really good.
That was fun.
Showed a lot.
Here's our promo.
I like the different theme music.
Yes.
Kind of like Mankind for pre-match and post-match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought he had that same song for both.
No, yeah, it switched. It started off like the pre-match, and then it switched very quickly to a darker song.
Yeah, but I thought he had both. I thought he always had the darker for intro.
But that's how his how his theme always was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has like the and then it goes into the yeah. There you go. Here's Todd with his leather coat. Members only.
This is
only one man can rock the members.
Definitely a step down from the last couple episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Todd Pettengill. He'll be he hosts kind of their C-level shows and does interviews and stuff for the next, what, like 4 years?
Yeah, he's around until like mid-97.
Yeah. He's like the coach.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a shock jock and radio jock in New York. He still is to this day.
Yep. I don't know if, I wonder if he has a new co-host because his old guy moved on to another station.
Oh, looks like we're going to see, what was that, not the Japanese woman for Yokozuna leaving the ring? Mm-hmm. What the hell was that? They just came in. This crowd looks like they'd rather be anywhere else in the world than that.
Is that our Syracuse guy right there?
Yeah, Syracuse
guy. Look at that guy. Angry.
Angry redhead looked even angry.
That is a pissed off Jameson looking guy, man.
It's like, I'd much rather be in WCF Lakes Arena right now.
Daddy. Pettengill was talking about having Giant Gonzalez on.
Oh, well, that was a big get for him. Oh, here we go. Here's the Andre.
With the Jets. Here's the 10 bucks.
Yeah, nice.
The Andre montage.
I just finished reading the graphic novel of Andre that came out from author Box Brown. It's really good. Good pick up. It came about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Real easy read.
It's a nice little photo montage here. Andre had passed away... like Scott said, over the weekend before this.
Yep. 46? Really? I think he was 46. 45, 46, something like that.
And before Andre died right here, who was the previous kind of death that they acknowledged? Like, I can't think of one right off the top of my head that they really acknowledged, right?
I'm very scantily clad this week.
My God. Wow.
I think it would have get these from Rick's. What the? Jesus Christ.
I don't know, Chad, to be honest with you. Now, there'd be a few more in 93. There was like one a month for the first few months.
Yeah, because Kerry Von Erich's pretty close behind, right?
And you he's February, and the Dino Bravo was March.
Yeah. But up to, I mean, I'm trying to think of like wrestler deaths before Andre. And,
I don't think so.
I mean, not many like WWF guys, you know. I mean, the first few, Von Erichs, Bruiser Brody, people like that. But
I don't know if they acknowledged Bruiser Brody when he passed.
Yeah,
away.
Don't know why they really would.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. Andre's always the first, and they would announce. I thought, did they announce here or shortly after this that he was the first inductee to the Hall of Fame?
Shortly after, I think.
Yeah. Here comes Roger's boy.
There you go, Raj.
That sucks.
I think they had the girls out too early for the Andre tribute.
Oh, they sent them back.
I think that's what it was. Here they
come. And turn around.
Oh, JR, did you see the PC sweatshirt right there?
No, I did not.
Yeah, there was a PC sweatshirt. And there was a guy with a Jets sweatshirt as well.
Tony DeVito.
Look at this poor bastard.
Isn't that Tony DeVito?
Yes, it is. Bobby DeVito, according to this. So may they change his name for this match.
We got two of the Baldies on this episode. The ECW of the Baldies, DeVito and Vito.
Not used to DeVito having that much hair.
Yeah, it's a...
Is he kind of, is he a big enough name for us to put on our list?
I wrote it down.
If we're putting Vito on there, might as well.
Yeah, I wrote it down anyway.
And they really picked some early 90s job.
Yeah, I mean, Northeast 93 was... Yeah, Northeast jobber crop in 93, 94, 95 was pretty hot, I guess.
Oh!
Ooh, look at that mullet. You see that mullet behind Fuji right there? That one's pretty nasty.
Oh, that is. Sorry.
Quite long. I still think we should give it to Beefcake.
Yeah, I think Beefcake's still the leader. The only question right now is high energy or that guy in the tracksuit.
Boy, that guy looks really happy to see Yoko. Hey, Yoko!
What is this white thing that's hanging down from Yoko? Is that part of his little wardrobe or what? He has like a little white... It's with his... Whatever you call it, is, I don't know, the thing that goes in front of his sumo suit with the strings going down.
I don't know.
He just tossed it to Fuji.
Oh, man.
It's a jobberific episode.
But he was so impressive, though, with the stretch when he was even taking out the jobbers. Like, so mobile for a guy who's so big. Honestly, Raj, I think you'll have a different opinion of him through these next couple of years. It's not till like 95 that it really becomes, you know, fat, really, really fat and useless.
He looks a little better here than he did in the.
Yeah, you'll be.
Maybe the Rumble wasn't a match that was meant for him, because his only move, he basically kind of laid on the ropes, and as guys went at him, he just shoulder blocked him out.
Oh my God! I'm glad. Steve, you have permission to put it on mute because nobody really cares what he has to say anyway. I'm curious to put the captioning on it, see what kind of slop that the person typed.
Well, he was
you're not a fan of Duggan, Scott?
Not at all, Roger. Not at all. Perhaps you're representing the United States. Might be able to beat this big man and knock him off his feet. That must be Vince, obviously. Let's wait, Vince.
Yeah, that was the match coming this weekend on Superstars. Was Duggan had challenged him and vowed he would knock him down because he had fell because at the Rumble Savage dodged him and he hit the corner and fell down, but no one had actually knocked him off his feet yet. So Duggan was vowing to do that.
Right.
Unless DeVito gets him here first.
Right. Yeah. And I don't see that happening right now.
Exxon couldn't figure out the phone when he first got on. They couldn't get him on.
Shocker. Another quick match here. A lot of quick squashes tonight.
Yeah.
That was a robust 203.
Yeah, that feels about right.
It's like they felt they had to showcase a lot of guys, maybe, because the last week it was very, you know, concise and they only had a few matches, so maybe they thought they had to really quicken things up and have a bunch of matches with different guys.
I do like Fuji.
Ugh. That's Justin's boy.
Most useless manager in history.
The devious Mr. Fuji. Yeah,
so devious.
Standing on the apron. Yeah.
I never get this where he gives Yoko the check after his early matches here. Very odd.
So it's like, how would he know? He's the bookie or whatever.
I know.
What if he loses?
Running numbers out of the back of the Chinese, Japanese restaurant. Oh, Money Inc. Little appearance here. Our tag team champions. Their debut over on Raw.
Mm.
A little promo action, Steve. So I think we're going to need your audio.
There's Vladimir.
Yeah. You guys surprised with the lack of action on this episode compared to the first three?
Well, I also think that maybe they're still slowly starting the Mania builds.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
I think they got to get guys' faces on camera now to kind of set up the matches.
I think that, and like I said, I think they wanted to just try and get a bunch of guys showcased that hadn't been on yet. And I think you're right, Scott. I think a lot of it's just building towards Mania. Mm.
RS's facial expression while DiBiase is talking is pretty good. Yeah. Such a smug bastard.
Vince was trying to get the crowd to boo, and they didn't get much.
It's crowded rough this week. I don't know what he's doing. He's mugging for the
little camera. Did I realize my sons would be motivational speakers. Crazed hillbillies.
I always loved how tight IRS's sleeves were rolled up and
yes,
on the shirt. One of the, it looked like one of the most uncomfortable wrestling gear of all time.
Yeah. DiBiase's isn't much better, I don't think, with the full tux.
Yeah, at least he didn't wrestle in that, though.
That stuff came off, Roger.
Oh, that's true.
IRS wrestled in the tie in the shirt. Look at that big guy behind him pointing at something.
So I believe here, Steve, you can correct us if we're wrong, but that they are accepting Beefcake's open challenge, right? They're going to flip a coin?
They haven't gotten to that yet. He's feeling, gave a little Humpty Dumpty fairy tale homage, and then he's basically saying, woe is Beefcake.
Did he tell him to go kill himself?
He's saying he's insulted that Beefcake put out an open challenge.
Yeah. Of course, the tax man has a coin here.
Is this a good the right heels to use to antagonize Beefcake?
What's that? Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
How about you, Chad?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, they were pretty aimless around this time. So, I mean, by this point, they knew what the end game was with Hogan coming back. So it gives some good star power to go opposite Hogan and Beefcake here with Money Inc. Money Inc. had had a pretty substantial run. Really felt like a dominant force in the tag division after they kind of won their feud versus the Natural Disasters. Now, what's Jimmy's beef here? I mean, he had been. Is he already apprehensive? They're already teasing.
Yes.
What happens with him? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said he doesn't really see the. Basically, he doesn't see what they have to gain. He thinks it's a risk. Risking the tag titles is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And
thinking they're going to get injured.
Yeah.
I thought he only showed concern when they did the big angle turn. That's pretty good. Then they at least teased it.
I like the reasoning, too. He doesn't really care about Beefcake yet at this point. He's just really more concerned.
Yeah. The tag belts or whatever. Yeah. Kind of plant the seeds of a little animosity. IRS is all fired up about something. I don't know what, but he's pointing that finger right at me.
He points something out to you, Beefcake, while you're lying on your back.
Looks like Repo Bills. Man.
He's fired up because of all the doctor bills that are piling up, and while Beefcake's laying in bed, he's not paying any taxes.
Is that what he said?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
He's starting to see some of the a little fighting between Hart and the manage and Money Inc. here.
I can imagine IRS being managed by Zeb Coulter now, and them both just doing promos.
I like that that they're so close that DiBiase doesn't call him IRS; he calls him Irwin.
Yes.
Thank you, Irwin.
It's a long promo.
Jimmy upset that they're not being serious.
Well, I see a mirror in the ring, so we know who's coming up next.
Oh yes,
our final match of the evening, another debut here. Lex Luger makes his in-ring debut for the World Wrestling
Fair. There he is with his aluminum foil robe.
Oh man.
Thoughts on Luger, Raj?
Huh?
Thoughts on Luger?
His mullet or him?
His mullet or just him in general?
Both.
Mullet could use a little bit of work. I like the feathery front, though. And I put in the column, I thought the way they introduced him at the Rumble was awesome. I thought it was really good with Heenan just fawning over him. And I thought he played the role of the narcissist very well. I thought it was really cool. And Heenan in particular was just give us a little more leg, Lex, and stuff like that. That was great. He really sold it.
It's kind of good for Bobby to have someone else to latch on to now, too, with Flair gone. He needed a new guy to to get behind, so I like that they kind of associated the two of them loosely together. Because they had been associated at WrestleMania 8, too, when they did that promo with Luger.
Yeah, Bobby, the WBF kind of, one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Luger, that he cut.
Good, Steve.
Like that he came to the ring in one of those hot dog wrappers that they give out at the end of marathons.
I'll say cheap aluminum foil.
It looked like
speaking of hot dog wrappers, there's a
Rosati. Oh, what is going on here?
Bertha Faye.
One of the Rosati sisters.
Rosati sisters.
Yeah.
Good lord.
The I thought Luger looked like an extra from Suburban Commando with that robe on.
So I guess Luger's upset that she ran his pose down here or something.
Yeah, I think because she came in the mirror.
Yeah.
He was in the mirror, yeah, while he was looking at himself.
Yeah, he played this thing to perfection.
So, Justin, the tag team match you had me watch from WCW was before this, correct?
Yes, yep, that was 19.
Yeah. I really like. I thought he was awesome in that, too. I think... I haven't seen him wrestle yet in the WWF.
That was what, Chad? Super Bowl I, Sting and Luger and the Steiners?
Yeah, that was May 1991. Yep.
Well, Mr. Perfect vignette. Was that Steve Jordan of the Minnesota Vikings? We had perfect, throwing perfect passes to him. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool they broke these things back out again. Because remember, they used these vignettes when he first debuted. Now they kind of redid some new ones.
Not actually showing any of the throws. There's the first one. A 7-yard pass.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that pretty.
Perfect sweatshirt here is very, or a jacket is very. Is that a sweatshirt? Like a, what the hell? Like a windbreaker is a very underrated outside. If it wasn't for High Energy, he'd have an outside chance at 90s man of the episode.
This is incredible.
Yeah,
I still don't know how he did this.
I like how he's running slowly. Basically, I mean, he's clearly not running that fast.
Pass to himself is. I mean, this ball has now stayed up in the air for at least 25 seconds.
Solid running form.
Wow. How big is this place they're in? It looks like an airplane hangar. Jesus. Wow. Awesome. How impressive.
That's fantastic. Roger, you know anything about Steve Jordan here? Is there anyone we should know?
I think he was the I'm pretty sure he was a tight end. And around this time, their best receiver would have been, I think, Anthony Carter, who evidently wasn't interested in cutting that promo with Mr. Perfect.
Yes.
Who was their quarterback at that point?
Oh, man. It was
three.
Jobber match.
Wade Wilson?
Probably. Yeah, and then... Wade Wilson had taken over for a guy who got, I was young, for a guy who got hurt too. Bobby.
Tommy Kramer.
There you go. Tommy Kramer.
Tommy Kramer.
Scott, we have another future famous jobber here. This is Jason Knight, future ECW star.
Just watched him on ECW 1993 later this year. Just watched him on the network the other day. Those are some brutal shows, by the way.
Yeah, some of the 93 ones.
Yeah.
Late 93 is not bad with the Public Enemy stuff. With
Bad?
Yeah, Bad Company.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah, they were really good. I didn't realize how big of a role they played until I was watching some of those. I was getting into that feud. Well, there's a couple missing in key points. Like, they really build that, like, death match or whatever where they're going to blow someone up, and then we don't get, like, any of the fallout because it skips a few episodes.
Yeah, I don't know if those are lost or they're going to be added later. Or
I think I thought I read that it was bad quality.
That sucks.
Put them on anyway.
Well, the tapes were pretty much wrecked, I think.
Yeah.
So Lugris is destroying Jason Knight here.
Someone's got to have those somewhere.
You would think so.
Yeah, I'm sure they're out. I mean, you'd think they could at least get them and then master them as good as possible.
I was like Lex's tights during this run, too, the white.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see if they turn them too quick or what.
The crowd seems a bit more into this than anything else that's really happened.
They've been into the matches. It's the promos they didn't seem to give a shit about, because they were into the Doink match. They were into the high energy. So there's the Forum of Death with the steel plate in his arm from the motorcycle accident.
Didn't look that good.
Yeah. Jason Knight sold it great, but...
What an ass. Just picks him up and punches him in the face.
Oh, this pin is amazing.
Yes. Rolls him over.
Pinky.
Drops to a knee and pins him with his pinky.
Oh. Yeah, Luger was in his ultimate douche mode around this point.
Oh, you mean his actual real life person?
See some of his persona being displayed here. True personality. He kind of had some of that in late 1991 when he was the WCW champ with Harley Race and Mr. Hughes. So,
yeah, I agree with that.
All right, so this is wrapping up here, guys.
He's got swing here.
What's he doing?
The giant swing only was able to get three revolutions or very six. Random. Six if the crowd's counting like they do now.
That was been an a-hole.
Solid 1.5 revolutions.
All right, so this episode, I believe, is about wrapping up here as we get one final look at the crowd. So I guess best 90s, we'll stick with High Energy. Best Mullet Beefcake.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Dog Show next week, guys.
Oh, that's right. We're off next week, so we can take a break. Be back in 2 weeks' time, and someone may be here. We'll see. I heard there's a rumor someone may be in the house.
So are we going to be reviewing the Dog Show as well?
Yes. That was a hot year that year.
Yes.
The what else do we have to do?
Well, rank the show, which should be interesting.
I'm gonna go 3.5.
I won't go that bad. I'll say 5.
Oh, I was gonna go lower. I was gonna go 3. I think this is a pretty pretty bottom end Raw. I mean, I don't know how many eventually we'll do of these, but I'd just say for the year 1993, I think if we get 5 to 7 Raws that are worse than this, we're in pretty big trouble. I thought this one was pretty dreadful. I mean, Doink, I'd say, is the highlight.
Yeah, that was Yoko, the best match.
Yoko Squash was fine, but just not much meat here. I mean, they did plant the seeds for some stuff with the Beefcake and Money Inc., but, I mean, that Beefcake promo was atrocious with how long it was and the crowd picking their nose and everything. Not kind of what you'd want for his re-debut. So
definitely worst episode so far. Steve, what's your grid?
I was going 3-2. This is like a Jimmy John's veggie sandwich. Like cheese, lettuce, cucumber, tomato. And yeah. Just no meat.
How about you, Raj?
I'll go 5. I liked Luger at the end.
All right. So if we average that out, we'll say, what, about 3.5? I don't know. Chad, you're the math guy. 4?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
We got 2 5s, 2 3s, and a 3.5.
That's a 4.
4.
All right. We'll give it a 4, Scott. Anything else we got to rank? Are we good? We got everything there?
Nope, we got everything.
Okay, cool. All right, another one in the books, guys. A lot of fun as always. I wish we were doing it sooner, but we'll be back, I think, in a few more weeks. A little bit quicker turnaround this time. And we'll look at the next two. And the February 15th episode is a very big one. And then the 22nd as well, as we head towards Mania. So visit PlaceMeNation.com each and every day for all your pop culture needs. Got a lot on the way as well. And for Steve, for Roger, for Chad and Scott, this is Justin. We're wrapping up. We'll be back Monday night with SummerSlam 2002. Talk to you then. Take care.
Work brought us Jimmy John veggie sandwiches. Come on. Who buys that for work?
Okay, why would they do that?
Cheapos.
I drink and bent and bent as a puff on deck. Rock the mic, I crave skin rips. Find a honey dip to dip it in. Slam dunk it, stick it, flip it and ride that B-double-O-T-Y, oh my. Ooh, that's it, come on, whoop, there it is, I'm done.
Whoop.
Come on,
whoop, there it is,
louder,
whoop, there it is,
get it to me.
he's the underground sound that you have found amazing, outstanding, demanding, commanding you people dancing. That's a breathtaker. I produce, aka The Undertaker. You wanna come down to the underground old school? Here's a shovel. Can you dig it, fool? Can you dig it?
We can dig it.
Can y'all dig it? I flow to the fly from the school of old hardcore, kick the folklore wreck. 3-2 where one mic check, mass skill blow ill on the mess of steel. That's the grill of the microphone I just kill. Party keep wishing, party tag team is through. Whoop, there it is, I thought you knew.
Whoop, there it is. 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 Whoop, there it is.
Girl, he is singing that to me.
You don't even know him.
This song is for all the ladies.
Well, the whole album is dope.
For real?
Damn.